And our reading begins with verse 26, Deuteronomy, the second book of the law, chapter 33, beginning with verse 26. It's a short reading, but very meaningful. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out of the enemy from before you, and will say, "Destroy." Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Let's pray together. Blessed Lord, we love your word. We take great delight in your laws. They are the meditations of our minds all day long, because our life and our behavior is conditioned by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God who speaks and listens and acts on our behalf. And as we sit here, Lord, ready to submit ourselves to the authority of Scripture, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to take every thought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. Enable us, O Lord, to control our wandering thoughts in order that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Grow in our likeness to Jesus Christ. Grow in our strength of commitments to follow Him wherever He may lead us. Grow in faith and grow in the enjoyment of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So speak to us, for we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I drafted this sermon, I was using the NIV translation, so you'll probably see a few changes, but doesn't matter. Well, we have two dimensions of time that constantly create insecurity in our minds. We have two spheres of time that constantly create, well, fear in our minds. The unknown future and the very unpredictable present. Sometimes it's really hard to say which of these is more likely to create anxiety in us. We look ahead and we think of the future with paralyzing fear because of the unknown. We don't know what lies there. We feel overwhelmed with awful predictions about the challenges of tomorrow. What will happen in the coming years? What will happen to our lives? Or even, how is my life going to end in this transient world? At other times, we simply get up expecting bad things to happen. We expect awful things to happen to us. Our thoughts are always running away with us and taking us to places that we don't want to go. Our thoughts are always running away from us and taking us to the worst possible situations in life. So the question is, what can we do about anxiety? What can we do about the fear of the unknown and the unpredictable, ever-changing present that we live right now, because we can't possibly tell what is going to happen? How can we transform our anxieties and awful predictions about the future into optimistic beliefs about the future? Well, the answer to all our fears and to all our anxieties is found in the blessing of Moses, that he spoke to the people of Israel that was led for 40 years in the desert. And if you come back to the text, you'll notice that regarding the fear of the present, notice what verse 27 says. I closed my Bible, so I'm just going to read from the NIV. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So that's regarding the fear of the present. Now, concerning the future, the same verse tells us, He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. Now, the context of this paragraph or this text is very important. The people of Israel, they have experienced a lot as a congregation. They've experienced deliverance. They've experienced wanderings. They've experienced rebellions. They've experienced wars. They have experienced the providence of God. They've experienced worship. They've experienced the providence of the Lord. They have also heard many wonderful things from God. The commandments of God, the law, covenant conditions, and the sacrificial procedures in order to approach God in the tabernacle and so forth. And now the people of Israel are ready to cross the Jordan River and to possess the new land that God has promised them. Moses, unfortunately, won't be joining them. Moses won't be going with the people, so this is the last opportunity for Moses to bless the nation and to launch them into a new ways of obedience, to send them into the new domain of the providence of God with His blessings. So with words full of encouragement and with a lifetime of fellowship with God behind him, Moses tells the people that when you don't have enough strength to run to God, when you are fearful about the future, when you are experiencing anxious thoughts about the unknown, God will protect you. God will be there. And the eternal God will be your refuge. Now, here we have one of the most common names for God in the Old Testament. This is the name Elohim in the Hebrew Bible. And according to the experts, the name describes a God of fullness, of unlimited power. The name of Elohim. So when Moses is sending the people, he says, God will be your refuge, and that's the Hebrew word Elohim. The name really highlights the way that God relates to the whole universe. But it's also a name full of revelation of the qualities that make God what God is. But you see, Moses does something very interesting in the text to help us appreciate how God relates to us in our need. Moses includes something else about God, and the scripture gives us some things about the qualities that God is going to offer to us. And that's why when Moses speaks about God, he immediately brings into focus some of his attributes. He tells the people that God, for instance, is the God of Yeshurun. If you notice that, God is the God of Yeshurun, who rides through the heavens, who rides through the skies. But he rides to rescue his people. So the God of the Bible is not an abstraction. The God of the Bible is not a detached conscious energy that doesn't have anything to do with us. Moses tells us very clearly, and he tells the people of Israel, that your God, the God of Jeshurun, is the God who rides on the skies, who rides on the clouds. So immediately Moses wants us to know that the God who is transcendent, the God who inhabits eternity, is also the same God who is now going to be present in your struggle. And he's coming down from heaven, riding on the clouds, to bring you help and strength. So the point is very clear here, that whatever else may be known apart from the God who acts in love and grace and compassion is only a dead idol, one of the many strange entities that the world is worshipping right now. So Moses at this point is very conscious of the threat of idolatry. So he immediately separates the God of Israel from the multitudes of other false gods. And if you look carefully at the text in verse 26, this is what Moses says. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in His majesty. So the purpose of this statement, once again, is to show us, the people of Israel, and to show us, the Church of God, that the God that comes to our help is a God who has a strong foundation of help. We have a God who rules in the heavens with infinite omnipotence. And for that specific reason, the future of the Church and our individual future is beyond the challenges of life, because we have a strong God who is a strong foundation for help. So the God who always manifests Himself in times of need is the God who is always very near to us. And this mighty God, says Moses, won't leave you helpless. He comes to help you. So this eternal God gives protection, and He gives us a place of refuge in the storms of life. Now, there's another interesting word in the text that I want to highlight for you, because again, it really shows us how close God is in our times, in our earthly journey. The word translated eternal. The eternal God. Now, this is an interesting word, because the word eternal here doesn't mean eternity. Doesn't describe the timelessness of God. In other words, when we speak about the timelessness of God, we are talking, or we're saying, that God doesn't have time, that He's not limited by time and space. But the word here is not about that. Interesting, the word in this text has another meaning, because Moses wants to produce another thought in our minds, another reaction towards God. Actually, the word has a reference for the tomorrow. It has to do with yesterday, not with eternity, but it has to do with what happened already. So yesterday, the past. So it's a word that encourages us to look back, not to the future, but to look back. Now that's really interesting, because you're probably thinking, how can this help me to overcome my anxieties and my fears about the future? How can the past, what had already happened yesterday, can help me to overcome the fears about the future? Well, that's the beauty of the text. The word eternal God literally means before. And in connection with time, it means beginning, or ancient, or from old. You might have heard the name of the Ancients of Days. So the insight that Moses wants us to take away from this passage is that God is the God of the beginning. That God is the God of Ancients of Times. In fact, a more literal translation would be that God is the God of the Ancients of Times, which will come more closer to the original purpose of the writer. The God of old, the God of the past, the God of the beginning is your refuge. That's what Moses is saying. So what does this mean for us? It means that everything that God was for the nation of Israel, everything that God became for the covenant community of Israel, He is for us right now. That's what it means. He will continue to be for us whatever God was in the past. And He will be that same God for us in the future. So Moses is saying that whatever you need God to be, He will be that God for you. As long as we have a relationship with Jesus and we expect all the wonderful blessings of God. So everything that God was, everything that God is, God will be precisely that God. The same God that took the Israelites out of Egypt, the same God that provided for them during the wilderness generation, He'll be the same God. So that's a powerful insight, that the fact that the God is Ancients of Days helps us to know and to experience and to overcome our anxieties for the future. So the description as the eternal God tells us that despite the progression of time and the long distance of history and the long gap or space between us and the ancient people of Israel, God is not far from you. Despite the fact that the Old Testament was written so many thousand years ago, Despite the fact that when you open the pages of Scripture and you read about the wonderful acts of God in the Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy, in all the Old Testament, and you're awestruck by the majesty of God, Moses is telling us that the same God is now present with you. He's not far from us. He hasn't changed. He's the same God, and the cross of Jesus Christ is a public demonstration that God continues to be present in our life. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost is the same thing. God continues to be the same God that interferes in our lives to bring blessings. So, the eternal God is as near to us as he was to the Israelites when he carried them through the great adversities of life. So what he was from ancient times will continue to be through the development and continuation of the ages and weeks and years and so forth until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So it's a great comfort to know that the God of Israelites, the God who performed miraculous signs, is with us. In front of us, already ahead of us, he knows the future, he knows what we need, so he's already ahead of us. God is already behind us, because he has already performed mighty deeds, mighty acts that have consequences for our life, and God is with us right now as we worship, and we look to him to supply everything that we need. Now, the second part of verse 27, underneath are the everlasting arms. That's another beautiful text. And this is really a deeper interpretation of the truth declared in the first sentence. The point of this sentence is to remind us that he who is enthroned in heavens, above everything else, is also the God who is among the people of earth. And when the people of God, they lack the strength that we need, when we feel weak, when we feel inconsistent, Moses reminds us that always underneath our difficulties, our anxieties, you will always find the everlasting arms of God to help us and to help us get through our difficulties. Now, for the community of Israel in this particular historical context, the tasks ahead of them will be very great. As you know, when you read the Old Testament, you find that they have to face incredible challenges in their lives. It wasn't going to be easy. There will be very depressing days for Israel. There will be testing times for the faith of Israel. They were going to struggle with the natives' inheritance of the land. They would need to press on, so they needed all the strength and encouragement they need. But during those times, you see, what Israel had to do was not to rely on their self-power, but they needed to recall the words that Moses already told them. And Moses said to them, look, before you go into this new land, remember these words. Always underneath your anxieties, your fears, your struggles, you will always find the everlasting arms. And the church of God must do the same. And this is where now we make the second application of the text. No matter how hard and scary the future may seem to us as Christians, you will always find the everlasting arms of God underneath everything. Always stretched out to sustain you. Always stretched out to provide the strength, that power that we need to carry on. Moses called the arms of God everlasting arms, because the security of those who rely on God is never shaken. It's always continuous, ever-increasing, powerful, and a strong foundation for those who believe in Christ. So his arms are basically a sustaining power that is limitless. It's always available for us. And the power and strength of God endures to the end. So I hope that this text in some ways makes you feel more secure and more safe, especially under the social conditions that we have to live today. Today we live in a world, well, where greed and self-gratification and unbelief and immorality is always available and is always encouraged and is always applauded by our society. And we look around and we see people gradually wasting their lives in fruitless things, in futile things. There is so much undisciplined lifestyles today, so much resistance to God, so much resistance to the moral values of Scripture, so much resistance to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it makes you wonder about the future. It makes you think, what on earth is going to happen? What is all this going to come down to? Where is God in all this? What is the future of the church? What is the future of this congregation for the future when we are surrounded by so many disturbances and pressures to conform and to adjust and to be what the world wants you to be rather than what God says you should be? What is our purpose in all this? Well, Moses reminds us, where can I find the strength to go on? Well, if we focus exclusively on this changing world, we are going to be profoundly disappointed. If your life support is the world and everything in the world and the dreams of the world and the expectations of the world and the physical things of the world, you're going to be disappointed. If our sense of security lies in the things that we have, or the things that we wish we have, or the things that we want to have, if our security lies on the promises of politicians, we are going to live in a constant state of threat and fear. Because, let's be honest, our possessions may be stolen. Our political leaders never tell us the truth. Our society is always changing. Our friends are unreliable. People don't keep their promises. So the future is always scary. But in the presence of fear, Moses tells us to go back to the promise of verse 27. And he says here, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So it's pretty clear what Moses is saying. God is your refuge. God is your security. God is your faithfulness and your courage for the future. That's the only truth that can quiet down and silence all our fears, all our hesitations about the future. So Moses is really telling us that fear is a waste of time, a waste of emotional energy, because God is your eternal security. Because God has already ordained your future. Because God has good things in store for those who love Him. If we believe the promise of our text, our anxieties, our worries, I believe, would vanish immediately. In fact, the rest of the chapter tells us that we shouldn't speculate about how life is going to work out, that we shouldn't speculate how the church is going to work out, because God is going not only to sustain you through this period of vacancy and doubts and anxieties, but then the text tells us that individually, God is going to fight the battles for you. So God is already marching forth ahead of us, preparing the domains, clearing up the space, providing everything that we know we need and God has already prepared for us to enjoy. He will overcome all obstacles that prevent His people from the enjoyment of His fullness. Let's read the last part of verse 27 to get a clearer picture of what Moses is saying here. Notice very carefully the text. Moses says here, He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you of Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. So Moses is saying here that the privilege or the security of Israel is really in the privilege that God decided to be their God. And that's what the Christian life is all about. That's where our security lies, not in our power of determination, not in the commitments that we make to ourselves, because, let's be honest, they're very weak and hardly ever we follow them through. Our security and the foundations of our assurance of our final destination and glorification in the presence of Jesus Christ is the fact that God has committed Himself to be our God. And that's how the Gospel is summarized. I'll be your God. And when God makes a commitment to be our God, well, He makes that commitment. He will be our God despite things around us. And because of that, the people of God can anticipate the strength. They can anticipate God's protection. They can anticipate the victory that Jesus has already won for us, conquering His enemies and the powers of darkness. Let's think about this. The fact that Israel did settle down in the land overflowing with milk and honey, isn't that a powerful evidence that God promised what He said He was going to do? He gave him strength, He gave him power, and He fulfilled the promises of His word. So, there's nothing impossible for God. But please notice very carefully what the text is. We are told here that those who trust in God will overcome the enemies. But we are the ones who are empowered by God to do that. Notice how the sentence begins, verse 27. He will drive out your enemies. And then the emphasis shifts. On you will trample down the high places. So Moses is saying that God will do His part. He will work, and we have to work. He will drive out your enemies, and we have to say, destroy him. And He says to us, destroy them. So the challenging part of all this is actually to believe that God is going to clear the pathway. It sounds so simple, but it isn't. To believe that God has already promised to drive out our enemies, but not as He says, but you say to the people of God. So this is the problem, and this is an encouragement. So our first step is to take the word of God. The first step, actually, to reduce our fear about the future is to believe God and His word. Now, God not only has promised to drive out our enemies by the providence, but He's also given us the Holy Spirit to do that. And I want to quote Spurgeon at this point. And this is what he says about this particular text. His Holy Spirit will give you divine power by which every uprising sin shall be put down. If all the devils in hell should tempt you at one time, and all the lust of the flesh should rise against you in one moment, and all the pride of life should assail you at the same instant, yet the eternal God, the Comforter, will be able to put them all back and to deliver you, and to put a new song into your mouth as He gave you deliverance. Therefore He says, go on, brother, even through the valley of the shadow of death, for God will thrust aside your foes and make a pathway for you. But not without your fighting will you win the victory, for He will say, destroy them. You are not to be taken to heavens as though you were a corpse carried there on a litter. You are to struggle according to the struggling of the Spirit within you. You shall work because He works in you to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Sins too hard for you today shall be destroyed tomorrow. You shall not merely escape from them, but you shall kill them. They are eggs of the old serpent within your heart, and they continue to be hatched one after another. But you shall one day drive out the old dragon and all his hellish crew. Your heart shall be pure as heaven and as holy as Christ Himself. So basically what Spurgeon and Moses are saying together is that there is nothing unknown in your life to God. There is nothing in your life outside God's eternal strength. He surrounds us with His comfort, with His protection. In the depths of fear and suffering, you'll always find the arms of God. God's help never fails. And He never will forget the purpose for which He has committed Himself, to be the eternal God to you. The eternal God has a purpose for all people who believe in Him, and that purpose is a purpose of love and endurance that will remain forever, as long as we continue to trust in Him. So whatever challenges we experience in this world, be assured that this won't be a strange thing coming to God. He already anticipated that. And you'll always find the determination and the resolution of God to overcome all your problems. So God will be your refuge, and He will conquer your enemies. He will be your God and your help and your shield every day. Not simply today, but tomorrow and what comes next, until the cycle of the running days have reached the fulfillment and God comes down to us and He takes us to Himself. So to remember this is to know that God is above, that God is around us, that God is beneath, and that God is in front of His people. As Paul tells us, in Him we move and we have our being. And to remember all this from Deuteronomy chapter 22 is really to be confident about the future and to be energized to face the future ahead of us, strengthened by the eternal God who's always around us, and by the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to face the future with the confidence that under all things there will always be those everlasting arms to support us, to guide us, and to provide for us everything that we need God to be for His people. Let's pray together. Everlasting Lord, we thank You for this encouraging text that reminds us that in times of fear, as we go into the unknown, as we may have doubts about what may be the next step for the church, we have a promise from the Old Testament that even though it was written thousands of years ago, remains true today, because God is always true and He's continually proving Himself to be a God of faithfulness and love and protection. So we ask for the congregation here at Overstone that You would give him the courage to face the different obstacles that they will definitely face, and that You would enlarge their faith and confidence in the God who is always present and fighting our battles, the God who will never forsake the work of His hands, particularly this little flock who is very committed and faithful and steady in the ways of God. So we pray for Your blessing, we pray for Your empowerment to go forward in the anticipation that Jesus Christ has already accomplished our victory, and He cares for His flock, and He wants His church to continue to grow, and He will provide regularity and consistency in public worship through the encouragement of the local leadership and the preaching of the word today and through the days until we find a suitable minister to continue to take up the challenge and the joy of ministering to the congregation. So we ask all these things for Your praise and glory. Amen.